What I have been thinking about this week, you know, there's a verse that says that we may know him. And we can say, I know God. I know a lot about him. But, you know, there's more that I can learn about God that would cause me to say, as we heard in this song, holy, holy, holy is his name. And so what I want to look at today, and this has been going through my mind this week, is God's love for mankind. What was his plan at the beginning concerning his love for mankind? What was his original plan? I've been able to kind of get my mind to open up to a picture of it, and I'd like to share that with you today. I'd like to start, though, with a verse over in Psalms 34 and 3. It says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." You know, a lot of times when we think of the word magnify, we look at something that's too small for me to really see good, so I need to make it bigger than it is. That's not what this is talking about, magnify the Lord with me. You know, we can have problems happen in our life to where the devil would like to bring to us, who is your God that's able to help you? You remember that came to Hezekiah when the king of Assyria sent messages to him. We have whipped all these other countries. We have destroyed their God. And what kind of God do you have that he will be able to help you? Well, this one says, magnify the Lord with me. I want to magnify the Lord in my own life, in my mind, to realize how great he is. He's well able to take care of any problem that I face. And I want to look at his love for mankind. What verse would you go to? You know, first of all, just right off in my mind, it's John 3:16. And that really does express his love. But I would like to move farther back in time and take a look at his love shown to mankind. And it gave me a picture of what he really wanted to be able to have a relationship with man. So I would like to take a look at it. If we went back to the beginning, in Genesis 1, we see these in the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know, that's an important verse in our day and time today, when so many scientists are trying to figure out how the Big Bang happened and all these things, and we just take one little verse with faith and confidence in it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then we can go on down for about 25 verses where he is saying, let there be this, and there was. And it continued on down through the 25th verse. And as he would go to each one of those and he finished it out, he would say, God saw that it was good. And I want to look at a verse before we go farther in Genesis 1. I want to look back in Revelations, the 4th chapter. Because all these things that he has created, it says something about this in Revelations 4 and 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created, think of what we just looked at over here in Genesis 1, the things that he created. Thou hast created all things. And I like this little piece right here. For thy pleasure, they are and were created. He had a goal in mind when he created those, and we'll get to see what that goal was if we go back to Genesis 1 and 26. For thy pleasure, you have created all these things, talking about God. And now in 1 and 26 of Genesis, God said, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, cattle over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So I look at this. It's almost like God brings the package that he has done. He's had pleasure in creating it all. And now he brings it to man and he says, I give you this package right here. You will have dominion. I want you to have dominion over all of the earth. And I see that almost as a gift. And there has been showing the love of God to his creation, man. There have been some songwriters that have tried to express to us what God's love was. I would like for us to look at some of their testimony, some of their views of what they saw God to be, and I'd like for us to sing a verse of it. When we sing this verse, maybe we could kind of say this verse maybe is a stretch of the imagination. Psalm number 484 and the third verse. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Is that a stretch of the imagination? Let's look at a couple verses. In Jeremiah, in the 31st chapter, I look at some of these and then I start wondering. Maybe that's not a stretch of the imagination. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. There's another verse in Psalms 90. His love from the beginning of creation all the way through now, 90 and the second verse, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And I think of how his love was shown, was manifested at the beginning, when he created man, and with pleasure he created things. And his pleasure, I think, is, I am going to present this to Adam. It's going to be a gift to him. And often when I look at what he gave him, what he presented to him, I see the negative of it. I see the curse when he had to leave the Garden of Eden. But you know what we have a picture of? Is what God really intended for him to be able to have. What it must have been on the day that he presented the Garden of Eden to Adam. And it's not just a plant. Adam, if you eat this, you'll be able to exist. More than that, he gave him trees that was just nothing more than pleasant to the eye to be able to look at. It was a manifestation of his love. Not just, okay, Adam, I'm giving you things so you'll be able to live, but I want you to enjoy the things I've given you. We have some trees in our yard, Bradford pear trees. And I'm not sure why they got that name, because they do not bear a pear that you can eat. It's an ornamental tree. Beautiful in the springtime, white blossoms. It's a beautiful tree, but it wasn't intended for you to be able to eat it. To me, looking at that tree in the springtime when those white blossoms come on, it's just a manifestation of God's love for mankind. And it was his love for Adam. Look over in Genesis 2 and 15. Because this week has given me a picture of God's love, his plan for man at the beginning. And you know, he's still got that plan that would work for me today. In 2 and 15, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. I don't think he intended, this is going to be punishment now for you, Adam. The punishment came after he disobeyed God. But I think the picture of what God's love is for him and for us was before that happened. I don't believe it was punishment for him when he said, I want you to dress it and to keep it. And then it goes on down to where it says, it's not good for him to be alone. I'm going to make him a helpmeet. All of these, to me, are pictures of God's love for Adam. All that creation, and he took it and he handed it to Adam and said, I want you to have dominion over the earth. It's yours to take care of. And I believe it was done with love. And then we often see this verse in Genesis 3 and 8. And I see this as a negative thing. But you know what? We can really see God's love for mankind in this. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. And let's stop right there. His purpose was, I want to be able to communicate. I've tried to think in the past, could it have been that God himself said, I would like to have something more than the animals here. I'd like to have something that I could have a relationship back and forth with. We're not told how many evenings they had met together in the cool of the day, but I don't believe this was the first one. I think they had an expectation. He'll be coming this evening. And what I would like today, you know, to be able to get the full package, we do have to look at the verse that says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. There is punishment for disobedience. It was here for Adam. But what I'd like to do today is, what if I could live over in the positive side with God to where I'm obeying him and I get to see the love that he had? They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I believe God was enjoying that relationship, being able to communicate with them. Just in my mind, for me to be able to think about it, is for him to come down and meet with them on an evening when it's cool. And them telling him, we just found another plant. Oh, that tastes so good. We want to thank you for it. I believe there was something going back between them as a relationship. I think God wants the same thing with us today. You know, his intention is, I believe he still longs for relationship. And I'm looking at a song. He longs for it for me today. And it's possible for me today. We're living in a time where things are so busy that it's hard for me to find a quiet time to stop and just communicate with the Lord. There's a song that we sing, there is a blessed pavilion, a sacred inner court, a place of God's own dwelling with all the world shut out. That's not a building. That's not the chapel here. That's an opportunity that I can bring myself into a place where I am closing out the world and the thoughts and all the things. Maybe it's not even sinful things, but just things that I've got to do. Just stopping all those things and being able to communicate with the one, God is love. Here's a song that I think describes that. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there none other has ever known. So as I look at what I pictured his relationship with Adam to be before the fall, and then I realize, you know what, that same opportunity is available for me today. His love for every one of us is still just as great as it was back then. There's a verse in Deuteronomy 6 chapter, 4th verse. Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now that sounds like a commandment. Is it a commandment, or is it my heart's desire? Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might. Let's look at another song in 460. Here's a songwriter that has that desire. It's not a command. It's not a punishment. It is said this way in the third verse of 460. Let me love thee more and more, till this fleeting life is o'er, till my soul is lost in love, in a brighter world above. Every day, every hour, let me feel thy cleansing power. May thy tender love to me bind me closer, Lord, to thee. So what would that relationship have been if Adam had been able to carry it through his life and it was just continued on down? Sin never entered. But we have to face it, sin did enter. And then his love was manifested still in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We all know that. We have said it in Sunday school verses. But you know what? Again, that's a picture of his love. Romans, the 5th chapter, tells us about that. Romans 5 and 6. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It brought to my mind another song, because you know what? We can be a Christian today, but at one time we were a sinner in need of seeing the love of God. And it made me think of a song over here in 447. To the sinner, it was to me one day. And it was a call to be able to see in first verse of 447. There is life forevermore. At the cross where Jesus died, you may feel his blood applied. If you own him conqueror, who for you the cleansing fountain opened wide. Sinners, see the love of God. Sinners, see the love of God. Will you come? Will you come? Sinner, oh, behold, wonderful love of God. When I was a sinner and the call came to me, you know, it's possible that I say, I got a vision of what hell is and I don't want to go there, so I'll be saved. But you know what's even more valuable and what will carry me through all the way to the end is when I will see the love of God. His love for me, his desire for me to be saved, and his desire way back there at the beginning with Adam, want to be able to have a relationship. He is interested in that relationship for each one of us today, and I am glad for that. And you know what? I want to build on that relationship. I want to be like that songwriter said, let me love thee more and more till this fleeting life is o'er. There's another verse in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. And in this verse, these verses, it talks about some measuring. 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. You know, this moves from a step of God's love for us, and then it also comes to a place where I get rooted and grounded in a love back to Him. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ. That's what I want to be able to have. I want to know God's love, Christ's love, today. In a time when things are so wicked around us, in a time where the religious world says you can sin every day and still make heaven your home, you know what? That didn't help Adam to be able to have favor with God, and it won't help us to have favor with God. There is a place where I can live where the love of God is flowing between us. There is another song in 4. I love it when others have written some songs, their testimony of what they see. The love of God in the first verse. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. This now is talking about the love that was extended to us when God sent His Son for us to be able to be saved. I want to look at one more verse in John. What is available, that love is extended to us today. In John 12:32, this is Jesus speaking. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And a showing of His love to us, realizing that, you know what, if I give my life, I will be able to, it's available for every person to be able to know the love of God. I am thankful for it. And in this, as I'm looking at it, I see this as one stage of it. What God desired to have in a relationship with Adam before Adam chose something different and brought God's displeasure on him. There was also a plan of God's love for when it happened, that he could still be restored back to the relationship that God had intended at the beginning. I am very thankful for that. I want to close with one more song. It's number 420. Because, you know, I can look at living for God in different ways. I'm going to endure some troubles that come to me. Why am I willing to do all that? I'd need to be able to see His love, what He was willing to sacrifice for me to be able to maintain this relationship. This song is number 420, and maybe we can just sing it in closing. Behold what love. You know, I need to, in my mind, even like through this next week, is just give some thought to what God provided in His love for me. What He wants me to be able to have in a relationship with Him. Behold what love, yes, love divine, the Father showed to thee, in that He gave His only Son, thy soul from sin to free. That last verse says the love of Christ is warm and free. We live because He died. His drops of mercy fall on thee and all the world beside. Such love cannot be fathomed. It's like a boundless sea. It is available for every one of us. And through our life, you know, there's going to be times where we have to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I failed in that area. When we do, He still loves us. You know, with our children, when we were raising them, and they would stray from what we wanted them to do, you know, we didn't say, I don't love you anymore. I won't ever love you again. You know, we still had the love. To be able to balance all this, we have to come to a place where maybe in another study sometime is, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And we can think about that with, when I lived at home, and I just finished up getting a good whipping, and my mom could administer it better than my dad. She would whip you till you knew you'd been whipped. And then she would finish it with saying, I want you to know I love you. And I thought, please, couldn't you show me a little better than that? You know what? That was the best way she could show it to me. With a view out in the future, if I don't bring this under control right here with him, one day he's going to be a menace to himself and society. So I am going to curb this thing, and it's my love that's doing it. You know, God's love extends to that too, and we won't start into that message. But I want you to just be thinking about it. Because so many people want to see the love of God only as what we've just talked about. He just loves everybody. He just loves everybody. And He does. But then we want to move into another place. I want that love to be so real to me. He does love me. But then we also will have to go into some areas where there's some places where He loves me so much that He will chasten me. So maybe we could close with that song, number 420. Maybe we could stand and sing.